title today's message, What Does It Look Like to Abide in the Word or Not? John 8:31-59. Is it possible to believe in God and not abide in His Word? A person who claims to know God but don't believe in Jesus cannot possess genuine faith. The religious maintains a superficial cultural or intellectual affirmation that lacks personal commitment and life transformation. There is absolutely no change. Some of these even lead church services. Some attend or watch online. They listen but don't hear, properly perceive, understand, or process what's being taught. Some can speak the church jargon or lingo per se, maybe even quote scripture, but deny the power of Christ and fail to follow Him. They are not abiding in His Word. If you ask, they would say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, but they don't obey God or even have an appetite for His Word. Still others may read the Bible, but for the wrong reason. It's noticeable because they lack evidence of a true conversion. This empty idolatry often stems from a desire for self-comfort or cultural standing, while having a desire to partake of all the benefits of the faith without submission to Jesus, His Word. The requirement is truly needed to be His disciple. This requirement is needed. Submission to Jesus. Submission to His Word. Such individuals often define Jesus based on their own preferences rather than the biblical account. They tend to separate Jesus from His teaching on repentance, obedience, sacrifice, and love. They have their own playbook. Luke 6:46, Jesus Himself said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? That's Luke 6:46. This superficial belief system, characterized by a thin layer of religiosity, is a disguise. Let's call it demon-like faith that avoids the hard life of a true follower of Jesus, one who abides in His Word, one who abides in His truth, one who abides in Him. The Jews whom Jesus speaks to in our text today believed Him on some level. They must have made at least a mouth profession of faith. However, Jesus gives a warning against making a superficial commitment. An impulsive moment will not lead us into true discipleship. I say that again. An impulsive moment will not lead us into true discipleship. A steady, dedicated obedience to Jesus' commands will be the proof of discipleship, because a tree is known by its fruit. If you truly believe in Jesus, you will abide in his word. This morning in our study, we will be talking about what it looks like to abide in his word and what it looks like to not abide in his word. So please, let's examine ourselves today. We're going to read through all of these verses today because our middle name is Bible. Whoop, whoop. Praise the Lord. Let's go. John 8, 31 through 59. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, you would do the deeds or the works of Abraham. But now you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do." Right? This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Wow. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death ever." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Ever? Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let us pray. Father, we come to you with a heart of humility, longing to be fed today spiritually through your word. We need nourishment from you, O God. We open our hearts to all that you want to say to us, all that you want to show us and teach us. Now we ask, Lord, help us to incline our ear to hear your voice. Help us to hear and apply your word. Apply your word to our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, what we'll take the time to do here and get ready for your first fill-in, but we'll read verses 30 and 31. I know I didn't read that the first time, but I want us to see something here as we move along. We'll read verse 30 and 31. As he was speaking these things, many believed in him. In him. We read verse 31. So Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him. Your first fill-in here, those who truly submit to Christ will abide in his word. As with verse 30, it is tempting to think that the Jews who believed him, believed Jesus, were expressing saving faith. However, the Bible distinguishes between those who believe in a shallow, superficial sense from those who express legitimate faith in Christ. This verse explains one way to know that difference. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Some of Jesus' teachings caused some of his disciples, his followers, to walk away in John 6:65 and 66, right? Jesus said some hard sayings, and they walked away. These were disciples of his, followers per se. It's kind of like in our text today. The Jews, which is described in the Pharisees, these religious leaders, who seemed to find the words of Jesus compelling at the moment, will also reject him before this conversation even ends. How many of us realize that it's possible to hear the word, maybe even say, that's a good word. I like that. But believe in a superficial way. The word has not seeped into the depths of our being to apply it to our life. These imposters have never fully surrendered to Jesus, so his word would take root in their heart, in their lives. Therefore, they can't truly be his disciples. This is the gist of what Jesus is talking about with these people. So Jesus starts off with a litmus test by saying, the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Jesus knew that this group of people were not going to abide in his word. Their belief in Jesus is on a surface. It's casual. It's half-baked. They don't have the main ingredient, Jesus. So Jesus challenges them with this critical statement. The word abide means to remain, to stay, to continue, to dwell, to endure. So Jesus is saying here, if you remain, if you stay, if you continue, if you dwell, if you endure in my word, truth is, you are truly my disciples. Verse 32 then says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now here's your next fill-in. When you abide in his word, the truth has a liberating effect. So the truth has an emancipating power to act in a person's life. But the problem is some people don't want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. That's the case with these Jews. Just by saying the truth will set you free, it set these guys off. Remember, the Jews, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and I would like to add, some of those people in the crowd, I believe, followed them also. We could look at that later on once we could see when they said, crucify him, right? The crowd was a part of that group also, some of them anyway. So let us look at verse 33 and listen to the answer this group of Jews give Jesus. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus, how are you going to say that to us? Essentially, the Jews are saying, what are you even talking about, Jesus? We're the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we can be set free? Set free from who? I'm kind of like, have you guys ever read your Old Testament? Your Hebrew scriptures? Huh? I'm thinking Jesus was very gracious not to give them a brief history lesson right there on the spot, because he sure could have done so. Jesus could have said, what do you think about what happened in Egypt? What do you think happened after you guys even made it into the promised land? You messed up again. You were taken captive by the Babylonians and by the Persians. And what do you think happened with the Greek Hellenistic rule? And by the way, right now, as I'm speaking to you at this moment, You are under military rule of Rome. What do you mean you've never been enslaved to anyone? That's a ridiculous statement. What the fact of the matter is that you can see what's going on in their hearts. They have no room for the word of God because I just shared with you those things. That's in the Bible. But you know what? Jesus isn't really talking about that kind of slavery. Let's look at verses 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Hallelujah. Jesus uses an example these Jews would have been familiar with in that culture. They understand that a slave had no ability to free himself from a position of slavery. It requires someone that's free to make that transaction. Verse 34 literally says, "Everyone who keeps practicing sin." Everyone who keeps practicing sin is a slave of sin. The slavery that Jesus is speaking of is habitual, persistent sin. And the Jews need this freedom. But you know what? This is also a good time to assess yourself. Jesus can make this statement because he is free of sin. He's the only one who is perfectly free of sin, right? Which means he's the only one who has the power or the authority to set us free from bondage, set us free from slavery, set us free from our sin, that very sin that holds us down. As Jesus continues to speak, he kind of gets into the crux of the situation in the next few verses by talking to them about whom they belong, their heritage. Will you look with me and let's reread now that 37 through 41 so you can see what I'm talking about here. "I know that you are Abraham's seed, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, you will do the deeds of Abraham. But now you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, God." Wow. This is pertinent information. Jesus says, "I know you're the offspring of Abraham." In other words, I know that you have that DNA connection. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Are you his spiritual sons is more like it. Jesus goes on to say, "You are seeking to kill me." And listen to this. "Because my word has no place in you." Another way to say that, my teachings find no home in your heart. Now let's talk about some deeds of Abraham, whom the Jews say is their father. Here are some key works of Abraham in the Bible. Abraham has an act of faith and obedience. He immediately obeyed God's call to leave his home for a new land. How about that? Abraham believed God's promise. Despite impossible circumstances, being childless in the old age, he trusted and believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham passed the ultimate test, I believe. He was willing to sacrifice the son of promise, Isaac, demonstrating total trust in God's power to raise him from the dead. Abraham showed hospitality and service. He displayed profound hospitality to three strangers, three messengers of God. And one of them, there was a Christophany, right? The pre-incarnate Christ. He showed hospitality to God, the messenger. More works of Abraham was peacemaking. He demonstrated character by allowing his nephew Lot to choose the best land first. What about intercession and advocacy? Abraham pleaded with God to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for the righteous. We really know there was none, because there's no one righteous, not even one. But Abraham pleaded with God. Pleaded with God. Lastly, worship and stewardship. Abraham built altars to worship God throughout his journey and was the first person in the Bible recorded as tithing, giving a tenth of his spoils to Melchizedek. All of these are good works. Good works. Let's see if the Jews in our story line up with any of those things. In this section, Jesus also brings up the idea of fatherhood to explain why the religious leaders opposing him are not true spiritual children of Abraham. They have another father. And guess what? The apple didn't fall far from the tree. Thank you. They have rejected the liberating truth. Hear this. I want you to hear this. They have rejected the liberating truth to receive a debilitating lie. Jesus explains that the actual spiritual children of Abraham would do what Abraham did, which was to obey God by responding properly to His truth, His word. These men attempting to kill Jesus in verse 40 reject the message of God because they reject the messenger of God. They will stay enslaved to their sin because they refuse to accept the only one who can set them free. Who is that? Jesus. I want to hear that. Amen. At that table, and then a reminder sitting right in front of us, amen. Isn't that what we see going on in our culture today? Someone can gently share the truth, and for whatever reason, they don't want to hear it. So they use deflecting words like, that's deeply traumatic, because they want us to condone a lifestyle that's opposed to the truth. May I suggest to you that the truth is deeply traumatic. His word is offensive to our human nature. Although this does not give us permission to go and be rude or cruel to people when we're sharing that truth. We're told in his word to do what? Speak the truth in love. Yes, that's Ephesians 4:15, right? Now, some people still feel offended, even if you approach with love. Even if you approach with love. No one can do it better than God the Son, the embodiment of love, for God is love. And they still didn't want to hear him. This is what it looks like to abide in the word of Jesus, to speak the truth in love, to do these works of Abraham, right? Those who truly submit to Christ abide in his word, and a liberating truth sets them free of sin, which prove that they are truly the spiritual children of Abraham, doing works like him through faith and obedience to the Father. Now, on the flip side, it's a little ugly here. We will be talking about what it looks like to not abide in his word. Whose word? Jesus. As Jesus goes on, you can tell he's not letting up. Let's look at verses 41 through 43. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Here's your fill-in. The Jews slander Jesus and commit to rejecting his word. The Jews slander Jesus and commit to rejecting his word. Here's the conversation. It takes a nasty turn right here. Prior to this, the crowd's attack on Jesus have been somewhat formal, right? They have disputed his claims and condemned his words. The Jews also sought to kill him twice in John chapter 5 and in chapter 7. This is what it looks like to not abide in his word. But there's more. In verse 41, we see this group resort to an outright personal insult. They hit below the belt. The statement, when they said, we were not born of sexual immorality, that is a direct slur against Jesus, whose birth was a subject of some controversy. So these religious critics tried to smear the representation of Jesus by calling him an illegitimate child. The Jews were saying Jesus was born through sexual immorality because he was born to parents who were not married. We know this is absolutely false. Did you notice how Jesus, check this out, this is so good. Did you notice how Jesus did not respond to their nonsense, their foolishness? He skipped over his birth story. He didn't do that in the story. He skipped over his birth story and began to address their daddy confusion. Yeah. Here's your next fill-in. The Jews are unwilling to accept truth because their heart is closed. So in verse 43, Jesus asks, why do you not understand what I am saying? Remember, these are the same Jews, the religious leaders, who have believed him from verse 31. This is important to know because at the end of verse 43, it says, you cannot hear my word. What's this all about? We're going to hear some more about what it looks like to not abide in his word, to abide in Jesus. Here, Jesus makes a point. Those who cannot understand the message of God, his word, are those who don't want to understand. The problem is not their intellect or their learning ability in this case with these people. The problem is that they are committed to rejecting what they do not want to hear. Their intent overrides all evidence, all logic. They definitely are not showing any humility, right? Their intent overrides all truth. All truth. These men have access to the scriptures. They have witnessed his miracles. They have heard human testimony. All of this is found in this Gospel of John alone. They even heard the very words of one who came from heaven in John 8:23, preached in there last week, right? Right, preached there last week. This is where Jesus talked about, I'm from above and you're from below, right? So, okay, all right. You know, there are people in the world that still reject hearing the truth. They're like, no, I'm not going to hear it, right? And the Jews in our text has determined, have chosen, or have preferred to take the low road, literally. Nevertheless, Jesus goes full steam ahead. In verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. This response from Jesus proves that he is not the passive, soft, weak-eyed cartoon caricature so often imagined. He told the Jews who they belong to. This is an overt rebuke delivered against these religious leaders who want to do the desires of their father. And that is leading people to hell. That's what they want to do. Matthew 23:15 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to make one proselyte, one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as fit for hell as you are. Whew. Sheesh. That's something you don't want to ever hear from Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And check this out. Does not stand in the truth. Why? Because there's no truth for him to stand on. Essentially, Jesus says, when the devil opens his mouth, it's all lies. For he is a liar and the father of lies. That's his nature. It's his very character. Now, the Lord is giving you and I some pretty valuable insight into the character of the devil, calling him the father of lies. Satan told the first lie in recorded history to Eve, right? Let's call it Operation Eden for him. Lying is Satan's primary weapon against God's children. This tactic of deceit was used to separate Adam and Eve and all of mankind from Elohim, God. Some of his more common lies are, there is no God. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't love you. The Bible can't be trusted is another one. Or how about this one? Your good works will get you into heaven. That's a huge pack of lies. Believe that. There's nothing that you could do to get yourself into heaven. Lies, lies, and more lies. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11:14, says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So what he says and does may sound and seem reasonable to our human nature, but is nothing less than complete rubbish, garbage, lies. Jesus told us that he's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. When he speaks, he can't help but speak lies. He can't help it. Remember, the devil is the father of these particular Jews in our text. And I say to them, like father, like son. Is it becoming clearer what it means to not abide in his word? Here's your next fill-in. Jesus judges or hammer down the Jews for their hypocrisy. Jesus has more to say in verses 45 through 47, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. The reason these men reject his words is because they prefer lies. And since what Jesus says is true, they are committed to ignore it. Committed to ignore the truth. Their actions are contradictory. Even their words are in alignment with their actions in such a way that it was consistent with the character of their father, the devil, not with God, who they claim to believe in. In verse 46, it says, "Which one of you convicts me of sin?" At this point, Jesus also brings out another major piece of evidence which supports his claim, his sinless life. If the religious leaders had a single incident which they could use to accuse Jesus of any sin, now you know they would have already brought that out. This is why they resorted to cheap gimmicks and obstacles, because they had no other dirt to throw. And I believe that's why Jesus brings this up directly, because none of these men or anyone else can accuse him of any sin. So Jesus says, if I speak truth, and he does, why do you not believe me? This ties into their hypocrisy or their rejection. If Jesus is attested, certified to be free of sin, meaning he has displayed a sinless life, he's a proven miracle worker and speaks the truth, why would they not believe him? The answer is repeated. Verse 47, they are not of God and do not want to hear. They cannot hear. This sure sounds like what it means to not abide in his word to me. Moving right along, we have a very important final part of this conversation that centers in on who Jesus is. I want to read this section, 48 through 59. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death, ever." The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death, ever. Surely, you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. These Jews opposing Jesus sink even lower now in their approach. The Jewish people saw Samaritans as despised half-breeds. Calling Jesus a Samaritan and saying he has a demon adds two more insults after already mocking his birth. Three strikes. they're out. Those opposing Jesus resort to some major insults. Unfortunately, this tactic is still common in debates today, where mocking and slurs take the place of actual discussion. And I will say, choose your arena. How the Jews are reacting to the truth is like how our body reacts when a doctor hits that little spot on our knee with a rubber hammer. Your leg just kind of kick up, right? Without even trying. It's what we call a knee-jerk reaction. The Jews' knee-jerk reaction to the truth is to say, you are a Samaritan with a demon. This proves the depth of their hatred toward Jesus and how their hearts are bent on lies rather than the truth, his word. Jesus desires that all people will come to know the truth and experience his liberating power. We just need to embrace it. It's said like this in the scripture, 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Moving along. There's a bit more correction going on, but remember, Jesus is the focus here. And here's your next fill-in. The Jews believe the father of lies. They're confused and can't abide in his word. So if anyone believed the father of lies, then you're confused and you can't abide in his word. This is a great conversation. Jesus is talking to the Jews about himself. In a nutshell, Jesus says, I know the Father and you do not. I can tell because you have no room in your heart for my word, right? You reject it. Although, if you keep, abide in my word, you'll never taste death. The Jews essentially said, really? We don't buy that. Our father Abraham died. The prophets died. His critics misread this as physical death, but Jesus is referring to spiritual death. And you gotta love this statement, Jesus said. Your father Abraham, meaning their natural blood relative, not their father in the faith, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham got to see the day of the Messiah, and these Jews said, Abraham saw your day? Yeah, right. You're a young buck. You're not even 50 years old. Have you really seen Abraham? And I love his statement, Jesus. I put that in my own words. Before Abraham even came on the scene, Jesus said, I am. I am. Make no mistake about it. This Jesus is using the divine name. I mentioned this last week, but here's a little more detail. God gave this name to Moses when he sent him to Egypt that he might secure the release of God's chosen people from their slavery, right? Exodus 3:14. Moses said, who should I say sent me? God said, tell them I am sent you, right? I have no beginning. I have no end. I simply am. I am God Almighty. If you ever hear anyone say Jesus never claimed to be God, and you know what? The cults will say this. Be gentle and show them Exodus 3:14 and John 8:58. Just be gentle. Before Abraham was born, I am. the divine name. Jesus literally says, I am God. The Jews knew exactly what Jesus meant when he made this statement. That's why they were picking up the closest stone that they could find to throw at him. Because they believed he was guilty of blasphemy. But this was certainly not true. They did not have a clue of who they were talking to. They did not have a single clue. Do you know why? It's because they had no room in their hearts for his word. His word. And that's what it comes down to. And so Jesus issues this challenge to all who comes into his presence. And he says, if you will abide, if you will hang on, if you will stay, if you would endure, if you keep going on, keep on keeping on. And don't sit in judgment of my word, but let my word sit in judgment of you. Then you will be my disciples. Too many people in the world are judging the word of God. Well, I don't think that's true. Well, know this. Jesus is going to use that word to judge us now and later. And it does matter what side you're on. If you abide in my word, is what he said. If you abide in my word. A true believer doesn't have to be afraid of the judgment because we're in Christ. When the Father uses his spirit and his word to convict, challenge, and yes, even offend us from time to time, believers, it's because his desire for us is to look more like Jesus Christ. To be made more and more and more into the image of God the Son. And so his word becomes the hammer and the chisel that he uses to take off those rough edges. All those things that our flesh delights in or celebrates. God basically says, yeah, that needs to go if you're going to be like my son. And then that over there, that too. Give me that if you want to be more like my son. And I'm going to use my word to do this. But you need to abide. Abide in it. You need to remain. You need to stay. You need to continue. You need to dwell. Live in it. You need to endure. That's perseverance. Even when it's hard. And it will get hard, especially when you don't like it and you don't want to hear it and you get offended, especially then. Abide in his word. I'm here to tell you, God's word is going to offend you. His word is offensive. The cross is offensive. Paul talks about the offense of the cross in Galatians 5:11. He said, now, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. The truth is traumatic. It is. And yes, we're all born into sin. But even after realizing right from wrong, we all have been duped, been deceived by the lies of the devil, taken captive. We enter into our sin of choice and continue to make up our own rules. This downhill battle begins with our own human desires. Next, we hear and listen to the lies of the enemy. We believe it, and then we act on it. But without true confession to God, true repentance, receiving and believing in Jesus the Christ, you will still be ruled by sin. Remember this. The Apostle John said in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world is under the sway or the power of the evil one. What is the power of the evil one? Jesus told us in our text today, he is the father of lies. So before receiving the gift of salvation that Jesus offers, that's all we know. That's all we know. But we need to say, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to hear you. I want to be open to all you have to say, especially when my human nature, my flesh, don't want to hear it. I need to hear you. I need to obey you. Lord, give me the desire to obey you. Embrace Jesus, because he proclaims liberty, freedom to the captives. Now that's good news. Now I want to circle back to the beginning of this sermon in verse 31. Jesus issued a challenge. Remember? He issued this challenge that distinguishes between those who believe in a shallow, superficial sense from those who express legitimate faith in Christ. Can we have verse 31 placed on the screen, please, so we can all read it together? Together. On the count of three. One, two, three. Let's read it. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Those who truly submit to Christ abide in his word. My question to all of us, that's how I'm a point, to all of us, are you abiding? Are you abiding? That's the question. If you abide, thank you for your honesty over here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord wants right there. That's it right there. Thank you. Sound like you're abiding because of that. Because of that. If you abide, stay, endure. Don't get offended. Don't get angry with God. Don't turn a deaf ear to the word of God. Jesus says, if you remain in my word, if you remain in my word, you can't keep yourself. It's going to be Jesus that keeps you. If you remain in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Set you free. Hallelujah. Jesus came to testify to the truth. Do you know the first issue that he must convince us of or open our hearts to is that we're sinners in need of him, the Savior. I know that's tough, but we must own up to our own sin. There's nothing we can do to go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus on our own. Nothing. We can't do anything that could ever be good enough. We have no power to elevate ourselves into God's presence. We must rely on him 100%. That's it. 100% on him. But that begins by understanding and recognizing our personal bankruptcy. Remember how Jesus starts the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's those ones that know that they are destitute. Destitute. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Now everything pertaining to life and godliness is theirs when they know that. We must understand and embrace the truth and realize that we're broke, busted, and disgusted. We're bankrupt, spiritually speaking. Bankrupt. We have nothing to offer. Nothing to give. Nothing good to bring to God. There is one thing that we can give God. Give him our sin. That's why he died. That's what we can give, our sin. And of course, it will be giving of yourself. Give him all of yourself. All of yourself. That's the one thing that we can bring, our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.